First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello!
Hello, hello, hello!
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use, and of course
twitch.tv/upnextpodcast and youtube.com/upnext.
That's right.
Hello, Twitch and YouTube room.
Hello, we are live. The video replays up there on the Twitch and the YouTube for all you people. Hit that subscribe, follow button.
Do it immediately. Pause everything you're doing and do it now.
Not unless you're driving right now.
No,
you're driving,
pull over.
Shout out all the listeners who are driving right now.
Yeah, pull over, go to the service station, the little chef or whatever you please. And
what about the listeners who are in the shower? Pull over?
Yeah, pull over. Pull over.
If you're listening in the shower, well, hello.
In the shower. Yeah. Risk water damage to subscribe and like immediately.
Thank you so much. We are Braden and Davey. We are your NXT friends. And we're going to chat about some NXT 2.0 from tonight. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. It was a long week. Actually,
what are you talking about?
There's nothing to talk about.
Nothing to talk about.
There's absolutely nothing to talk about in the world of pro wrestling at all after a huge weekend, which felt like way too much wrestling. But hey, we love it. And we can't get enough because we're going to some wrestling tomorrow night for Dynamite.
Which do we have to?
We'll get there in a second. Yeah, we had a long weekend of stuff. We watched Clash at the Castle. We watched NXT Worlds Collide. We watched All Out. We watched the After Presser. We watched a lot of stuff.
I'm burnt out.
Yeah, definitely.
I am burnt out.
Yeah, for sure. So what are you doing after this? You want to watch some wrestling?
Sure. Yeah, what I haven't seen that New Japan show yet. I'm sure
Is there one?
Yeah, there was clap crowds. No more clap crowds.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is Master Wato on the card?
I hope so. Probably got some MLW you can check out as well. And
what's that?
ROH maybe? No ROH.
Maybe coming sooner than we thought.
Yeah.
So we joined John and Wei for post-wrestling. And we talked about All Out and a little bit of Worlds Collide on that show. We were both really tired, but somehow we made it out. So go check out that show with all the thoughts for those shows on here. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about Worlds Collide, later today too on this one. But then the real kicker was the after show, the press conference. 'Cause you know, pro wrestling needs press conferences.
Yeah. Normally we save AEW talk for BD Elite, but we kind of have to like spend the first part of this show talking about what the world is talking about right now.
We will be doing a BD Elite. We're going to be at Dynamite tomorrow, Buffalo. We have pretty good seats, so look for our signs. Mm. If you see us on TV, grab a snapshot and tweet us because we're trying to get on TV, and you'll understand why if you see some of the signs. Also, taking sign requests at Up Next Podcast. But we're going to do a road trip back home on the Thursday, and we'll record a BD Elite sometime out Thursday evening to hear all the thoughts from the live experience of that show from the car. So we will be talking about tomorrow's Dynamite. But yeah, we should talk about CM Punk.
Yeah. There's a whole lot. We did talk about it a bit during the show with John and Wei. Obviously, that was all a bit surreal because we're recording this show and going through All Out and Worlds Collide as we're seeing just the YouTube room blowing up saying that Punk is going off on one. And we did watch the kind of 2-minute clip that was up online during that show to kind of talk about and give our first reactions. Since we've gone away and we've like watched the whole thing, and then there's reports of a fight breaking out and more stuff coming out from that the Bucks were like pissed and they kicked the door down and Ace Steel's wife is there with a broken foot and a fight.
CM Punk's dog is there.
CM Punk just starts throwing right hands at Matt Jackson. A chair gets thrown at Nick. Kenny Omega gets bitten.
What?
It's crazy. And, it's a lot of the kind of, wrestling journalists who kind of, are quite well trusted with breaking news and stuff.
Yeah.
I've been all a bit vague today, kind of. They know shit, but they can't say shit right now. It's not good. But boy, starting off, we're not journalists here, so we can we can have fun and speculate and shit. And this is very entertaining.
Yeah, it's really weird because he seems so angry in that press conference, like so off his rocker. And I mean, the funniest part about the whole thing is Tony Khan's reactions through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, poor guy put on the stand, but you could tell he's not used to maybe standing up for himself or others. And he didn't necessarily do that in that. And that's, I'm seeing way too many memes coming out from this whole thing. But yeah, so CM Punk says all this stuff. It looks like he was upset talking about Colt Cabana, calling him by name. And then he drags in Hangman again in there. He then drags in Colt Cabana's mother and how he says Colt Cabana and his mom share a bank account together. Like, he's just being a little all off the wall, I thought. And then to just really, like, I think what was really, like, the kind of, you know, key in the car here was, like, meaning keying car, he starts talking shit about the EVPs.
Saying they couldn't run a target.
Shout out anyone who runs a target, by the way. It must be an actual hard job.
I can imagine being pretty hard running a target.
That would be pretty hard.
Yeah, and then kind of some shots at MJF, which you could take as kayfabe, because that's the program they're going towards, but mixed in with this whole thing, like, just shitting on, like, top people and, like, the pillars of this company as well.
Yeah, really weird.
Very odd. Like, I understand, like, clearly the Colt Cabana stuff is stuff he's wanted to get off his chest and kind of, like, put a close to that chapter and move on. I somewhat get that. Like, if he feels he's in the right and this story keeps on coming up, sure, like, by all means, you can defend yourself and kind of write the record there. But then, as soon as he's bringing, like, his mother into it and just, yeah, the Bucks, Kenny, Hangman, that's where I'm like, all right, you've lost me, pal. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was completely unprofessional. I thought it made Tony Khan look like a little bitch.
Yeah.
Just sat there doing nothing. Like, this, it feels like this guy has just come in and is just running this show, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and getting, I mean, think you look back the whole last year, kind of Cody leaving and talks were there about, like, money and kind of maybe a bit of resentment to Punk getting paid more than him, like, and feeling he deserves more. Like, things used to be all right here in All Friends Wrestling, right? And yeah, I can understand people being, like, understandably upset with what he says. I don't think this is the way you go about shit at all.
Yeah.
And I felt like to keep on, like, come on. As soon as I can understand the Bucks maybe winding people up the wrong way. Even Kenny comes across like I can understand maybe people not getting along with him. Maybe Hangman, come on. That's where you lose me.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I don't know. Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
Hangman seems like a nice, like, intelligent guy, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, come on. Okay, if you felt he crossed the line with that workers' rights tweet, and it's not like he went out and said, like, yo, you Colt Cabana lost his job because of you, you prick. It's not like he did it vague, which is what we've seen, especially in the last few years in wrestling. We've seen these kind of blurred lines, shoot kayfabe promos, and they work. They do get people into it. And he didn't drop his name. And I felt if Punk felt he needed a receipt, he gave him that receipt when he called him out the other week. That should be it, really.
Yeah.
Like, to keep on going on about it, you seem like a bitch. And especially being asked questions about, hey, how do you think the legends are being used? And then using that to pivot and go, like, oh, these dumb fucks like Adam Page don't want it. It seems so petty. It seems, look, this isn't the first time. I think a lot of people were on Punk's side when he left WWE the first time round.
For sure.
Like, I don't know. It's history repeating itself. And I lost a lot of respect for him, and I've enjoyed this year with Punk.
Yeah.
Like, I've really enjoyed it.
I have too.
His work's been fantastic.
I have too.
I went to All Out last year. I'm so excited to see this guy. But, like, that before this whole fight thing afterwards, that press conference left a really bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, watching that just because he was so angry while he's eating muffins or cupcakes or stuff, just it felt like, dude, what you sound like Hangman when I'm going to like shoot your dog, Larry. And that's why this guy just erupts to go like, fuck this guy. And they're stepping on their own dicks. And he's saying all these crazy things. It's like, dude, what could have possibly, are we just missing some of this story? But he chose to do this in a, this is recorded. This is a live stream. There's people there. Like, you chose to do that at this time. I thought it was very odd.
I will say as well, there's something about, catching him. I mean, this is just the nature of these press conferences. Yeah. You start with the top guy, but he's just gone 20, 25 minutes, possibly banged up arm, bleeding, adrenaline pulsing through your body.
Sure.
And then you're having a mic stuck in front of your face and you're asked questions and you're going to be more heated. Whereas you look at, say, like Keith Lee and Swerve, who come out later, who come out after Punk, who have had a couple of hours since their match. They're showered. They've cooled down. Jericho, who seems very composed right at the end. Like, you've got to, maybe not the best situation, maybe start with some other guy. Let this guy shower off and see the trainers and stuff before.
That's how UFC does it.
Having a mic shoved in your face, you know?
Is it me or Jericho kind of leaned in and was like, yo, shit went down.
Oh, yeah.
And Tony's like, what? What's going on? And then later we were like, was there a fight? Oh, man.
So
what?
Yeah. Security guard running off. And
it's so crazy, man. I've been a fan of Punk's run with this. He's never been my like all time favorite because he has done this in the past with a lot of his whole career has been a lot of this kind of stuff.
And it's somewhat what makes his character compelling.
Sure.
Right. Is this Punk attitude, I guess.
Yeah, I really liked his comeback. I really loved the feud with MJF, especially. That was some top-tier stuff. And I loved the promo for this All Out stuff. The match at All Out was pretty good, but it wasn't like, you know, match of the year kind of category for me. I didn't go, like, I wasn't blown away from it. I obviously was tired after watching a 72.
The main event?
Yeah.
It was a good. Solid main event.
It was good. It was good. But like, you know, and then watching this, like everyone forgets about the entire pay-per-view now because they just want to talk about this possible fight or whatever backstage brawl that has happened and this whole freak out on the presser. So it's just crazy that the whole pay-per-view is just kind of not even talked. MJF, what's he going to, he has to come out on Dynamite and he has to say, like, they have to reference this in some way, shape or form. And it's just going to be very odd. Will Punk be gone? Will the Elite be gone? Are we getting the Bloodline versus the Elite at WrestleMania one day? Like, everyone's speculating, like, will they walk or will they do this? I don't know if anyone's necessarily going to walk. Like, hey, things happen and obviously it's a fight and violence and stuff like that. If someone threw a chair and knocked someone out or punched someone, like, they should be in trouble for that. If someone bit someone, that's pretty messed up. And I maybe get fired for that. I don't know. Like, you biting someone? I don't know. Pretty weird. If you got bit by a coworker, you probably not want to work with them ever again.
No, it's true. I mean, you see it happen in, like, football and stuff. Like,
I mean...
Suarez was known for biting people and he just gets a little fine and moves on. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of pissed if someone bit me at work.
Chomp. Yeah. And it wasn't CM Punk's dog.
No.
Yeah, this whole thing is crazy because CM Punk would just seem so aggressively angry and going off on Colt Cabana, which, like, I had no idea anything was going on between CM Punk, Colt Cabana, or anything being leaked or anything. Like, I have no idea what he's talking about.
I mean, let's look at that. The insinuation is that the likes of Meltzer, Sean Ross Sapp, etc., kind of reporting that possibly Colt Cabana's not there in AEW and has been, I guess, demoted to ROH because of Punk. And you think you put two and two together, who are kind of Meltzer's boys, it's likely the Bucks and Kenny. Like, we know that. We know they're friendly and they talk. But also, like, you don't have to be a fucking rocket scientist to put two and two together that we used to see Colt Cabana on TV every week. He used to be CM Punk's friend. There was a lawsuit there. And then moving forward, Punk comes in and he's gone, right? Like,
Yeah.
I don't think you necessarily need to leak stuff to be able to put that together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. I feel like this whole thing is just being blown out of proportion, especially with the Colt Cabana thing, because I feel like I noticed that Colt's not on TV, but I just don't see anything along the lines of something that's been going on, especially like online and stuff. I haven't heard anyone been like, oh, this guy, whatever. I know Punk's been in the company and we haven't seen Colt. I guess he took the workers' right line to like another level there.
This is also the guy who had a promo with Jericho talking about like his father being an alcoholic and sister on drugs and all stuff like that. And sure, okay, maybe that was approved beforehand, but you're really losing your mind over workers' rights? Come on.
Yeah, I swear MJF brought up or insinuated Colt Cabana in some promos, even like earlier in their feud. So very, very, very weird. And then the Hangman stuff. Okay, you're mad at them for essentially leaking stuff or stuff. I totally understand. But again, this was not the place to say all that. Everyone forgets about anything that happened on the show now because you're calling out the Elite, which sounds like this big deal. And now a day or two removed, people are saying that there's an actual fight. Like, of course, people in wrestling, is this a work? I absolutely believe this would not be a work, no, because this does not make any sense whatsoever. It sounds like this guy's being a prick, was a prick live on camera after his match. And obviously people wanted to answer. He needed to answer that. Like, people wanted to talk to him after that. And you can't just drop the pipe bomb that he did on that thing and expect no one to want to come and talk to you.
I'm not opposed to like trying to be like, I'm going to preface this with saying, I don't think it's a work at all, but I'm not,
no,
I don't like dislike the idea of trying to blur lines if it serves the story you're telling.
Yeah.
If Punk came out and basically went off on MJF for walking and all that in this nature, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. There,
but it wasn't that.
Yeah,
it's about people not involved in the feud. Same with the Moxley thing. He came to start a feud with Moxley, brings Hangman in randomly. You're like, this is weird. What is that serving? So it is him just going to business for himself. And
yeah
it's really odd. And you need... And, like, it sounds like it could be beyond, like, sitting down and hashing it out and getting through this.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel someone has to go. Like, if you're going to have a company where your top stars can never face each other because of this.
Right.
Like, when Punk comes in, what were we talking about? Oh, wouldn't it be cool to see Punk versus Kenny? Wouldn't it be cool to see Punk team with Bryan Danielson against the Bucks? Wouldn't it be cool to see Punk and FTR against the Elite? Like, all that stuff. You're telling me that you can't do that now because of this? Like, they can't work with each other?
I mean, are they not adults? Can you not, like, you know, you're getting paid a shit ton of money. Like, do your job, essentially.
I completely agree. But Punk saying he refused to put over Hangman, other reports from their last match because of what he said.
Gotcha.
Sorry, you can't, like, you ain't the boss.
Yeah.
Like, you do your job. You do the job. And it sounds like they can't do that right now.
Also, like, the way he went off and disrespected them like that, if he were to apologize, the apology would have to be just as loud. Like,
yeah.
you would have to go on TV as you're the champion, the babyface champion. Like, is this the way to turn heel? No, this wasn't. Like, this isn't about that. He's just being himself on screen here at this presser, and it's just so backwards. It's so weird that he goes and makes these choices to call out these guys. And of course, like, we don't work there, we don't know these people, there could be a lot of internal things, but anyone watching who like works there or works in the industry, like, it just, you just watch that, like, what's this guy on about? Like, what a prick.
Like, yeah, like, how does Discovery feel about this?
Yeah,
you know, like, this is the star of your company. It makes the company look so shoddy.
Tony Khan's your leader. Triple H would never allow this. Vince McMahon, ever in his heyday, would never allow this. He's the one doing the screwing over with his talent. You know what I mean? Like, Tony Khan's just sitting there.
They look
like
Bush League.
Tony's just sitting there like wincing, like, ooh, this is not
especially
good.
Especially later, like, Tony Khan going off on WWE for booking Worlds Collide.
Yeah, the
and
same
a
day.
Show the other side of the planet, like, yeah, the day before.
It's really
like,
weird.
Nah, that ain't taking away your business.
Yeah, like, I love TK, but he was not doing it in this presser. You should have, like, the last time they had a presser when Punk was the one, like, going off. Sorry, it was TK who was the one going off, and Punk was the one who had to stop him. Like, hey, we need to stop. You need to calm down. We need to move on. So now it's like the other way around. So like Punk should have, TK should have said like, stop. Like, what are you doing?
And it shows he's maybe intimidated by this guy as well. And he doesn't come across like a boss, an authority figure. And you need that. You need to
hire Eagle.
You need to show, it doesn't matter how much money you're paying these guys. Like, you are the boss here and you need to,
yeah,
sort this shit
out.
Well,
what's Punk also mentions, like, Hangman put the main event of Double or Nothing in jeopardy. Is he insinuating that I wasn't going to show up?
Walk,
yeah, I wasn't going to show up for that match. Comes.
You're putting it in jeopardy by being a little bitch.
Yeah, and again, comparing it back to 2014 when, of course, he left, it's like he's the one who's like, yeah, you know what? Like, I'm gone. I totally get it then. Here, not so much. Here, you're winning titles. You're the main guy. You're a big, huge draw attraction. And this, like, it's just so backwards. And it makes me as a fan just really dislike him.
Yeah, me too.
He's never been one of my favorites. I've met him in person as a kid. He was a bit of a prick to me. And all these years later, I still look like, guys,
I think that's what is so sad is when he came back a year ago, I just thought, oh, he seems in such a happy place now. That like, asshole nature that he's always had seemed to have gone.
Yeah.
He was coming in. He wants to give back. And he's excited about wrestling again. He's found his love for wrestling again.
And it was cool to see that.
And didn't come across like a prick. And now you just get the feeling that that passion is going again. And
already.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, something's got to be done. Obviously, it's, you're gonna, by the sounds of it, like, he might have been one of the ones to start throwing punches in this fight, and exactly, we're just going off like reports that no one can completely verify and stuff, but I don't know, like, I think it would be maybe a better place without him, which is sad. And obviously, as a business, like, are you really gonna get rid of your top guy?
Yeah.
But it sends a message to your locker room, I think, as well.
It's tough. I mean, it sucks that he's now beaten Hangman and Mox, because it's like, you could easily go with now either way. But, like, I don't think he's leaving. I do think that he's got to say something. I do think he's got to say some apology. I think we got to hear the story from, like, all these sides, so we're not just hearing it from so-and-so who heard it from so-and-so whose cousin said they saw them at 21 Flavors last night. It's like, no, you gotta hear it from them. And I would like, you would think, not even the fight, like, ignore that this is even, that's, is that real? The press conference, Punk's gotta, like, yo, I was on one night. I was jacked up from the match. I'm so sorry.
It was hurt, beat up.
I shouldn't have said some of those things, especially, like, on camera. That's already, you would expect. But now you're saying that fists were flying, people were biting other people.
Chairs
heads, shoot thrown. Like, what's going on? Like, that's ridiculous. Why can't the world be, like, more nice place?
Yeah.
You know? Why are we fighting?
Yeah.
You're all making money for entertainment.
So, reports are suggesting that tomorrow's Dynamite, these parties involved, so I'd imagine the Elite and Punk and Ace Steel will not be at the show. They've brought in Jericho and Danielson? No, Moxley. Mox, who weren't originally booked on it, to be on there to kind of
make good. But what, you're going to have Mox come out? What, he's just not going to reference anything?
Something's got to be said. Whether it's Tony Khan himself coming out and stating, look, CM Punk, like, I kind of think, and it's shitty because we've just had this whole interim thing, I think you strip him.
Yeah.
I think you strip him of the title and suspend him. I think Ace Steel, bye-bye. And I think suspend the Bucks and maybe remove their EVP.
Damn.
I think you need to do something big, like, to show, I'm the boss here, I run this place, you don't treat this place like this. I think that would send a message.
I would imagine Mox and Jericho are locker room leaders and probably are helping out on what they could possibly do. It'll probably be a really watched Dynamite because everyone's interested to see what they do. They need to reference this. If MJF does not mention this, like, it's...
Just do Mox v. MJF tomorrow night.
For the title?
For the title. And... Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's crazy, though.
Yeah. You think the Bucks super kick the door down? They couldn't get it open. They're like, hold on.
Release,
slap the thigh.
Release the cutler is what we need.
Brandon Cutler had to be around, so he had to have it on tape for sure. Yeah, this is just ridiculous. I mean, BTE, they dropped a 43-minute episode, and I skimmed to see anything that would reference through it. Nothing.
Well, that's the other thing as well, is if there's legal ramifications from this, there's only so much you can do and say, I guess, as well. But
damn,
what a fucking weird year in wrestling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like Vince McMahon's out. That story can't be topped. No, CM Punk fucking fights people.
Oh, Sasha and Naomi walking felt like the biggest thing at one point. You had MJF.
Yeah, what was that thing Punk tweeted when that happened? You know, stick up for your coworkers. Stick up for it. You're all in this together.
There's been some great stuff with that. The faded picture of that with Judgment Day laughing from Dominic Mysterio turning was
that's another thing.
Wonderful.
We have a Dom who's now a sub.
Yeah,
wrestling's fucking crazy.
Miro with a laughing emoji.
A lot of wrestlers are picking sides. I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
This is like we recorded a show earlier today and we briefly talked about this and we said it's kind of like the Will Smith slap.
Yeah, 100%.
Because right away I was like, man, Will Smith slapped the shit out of Chris Rock. Good for him. And then I'm like, that's not right though.
And I know just like that Will Smith slap, there's going to be people, I'm sick of hearing about this.
Yeah.
But boy, am I going to talk about it some more.
yeah, exactly. But now it's like, well, are you Team Punk? Nah, I'm team Elite. Punk shouldn't be saying that. Or are you Team, Punk? Because, good for him talking that shit.
It does really raise my interest level in Dynamite tomorrow. And I kind of think whatever you do, however you're addressing this, you need to do that right at the top of the show. You need to address it then move on.
Yeah.
And now let's enjoy everyone else's work who haven't been getting into fights backstage.
It's like the cast of Don't Worry, Darling.
What's that?
Have you seen this movie?
No.
The Olivia Wilde movie with Harry Styles.
Right.
Pugh, what's her name?
Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh. So there's beef between her and Olivia Wilde. And then Olivia Wilde got caught in 4K lying about something else about the movie. And then says she fired Shia LaBeouf. But Shia LaBeouf's like, nah, I got receipts that I quit. I didn't want to do this movie. So then Olivia brings in Harry Styles to fill the role, pays him 3 times the pay of the lead, Pugh. And Pugh finds out afterwards and gets pissed. And then I don't know if you know the drama with Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis.
Oh,
that leaks into this. So there was a video going around today with Harry Styles, quote unquote, spitting.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's not spitting on him, but the internet loves to go off of this.
Chris Pine?
On Chris Pine, yeah.
Did you see the video of him dropping a goat?
Yeah, everyone's editing it now because there's just so many edits. But people were noticing that Florence Pugh would not look at all or sit near Olivia Wilde.
Damn.
So people are like...
So much drama.
Just drama in the world. I'll give you something nice, though. Have you seen the corn kid?
Yeah. He's
just
now,
a kid who loves corn.
He loves corn, and now he's like mayor of his town or something.
He's like mayor of his town, got sponsorships with Chipotle. He just loves corn. Just loves corn. See, there's nice things going on in
nice
the world.
Yeah, there's nice stuff in there.
Orangutans.
Orangutans are pretty damn dope.
The world's all right if you look in the right places.
But yeah, this is going to be ongoing, obviously. I think we'll put a... put a pin in it right now, but we'll definitely more news is going to be coming out about this over the next couple of days. And it makes this Dynamite that we're going to tomorrow fascinating.
One of the
most interesting shows I think I've ever gone to just from all this crazy shit that's happened.
Yeah. So follow our socials for anything. Watch on TV. We might have some signs that poke out. We're second row somewhere. So look for us in Buffalo. And then we'll record a show on the Thursday coming back to Toronto there. So look for that for all our stuff. Mm. But we'll try to get a Colt Cabana chant over.
Yes. but speaking of extra podcasts and Patreons and stuff, it's a new month.
Yeah.
So we got a whole lot of stuff coming out this month. We've just dropped my birthday pick up yours, where talking all about a quite unknown Spanish film starring Antonio Banderas called The Skin I Live In.
Yeah.
That dropped today.
What a messed up movie, man. Mm. This one's not for the weak at heart. I don't know. This is the only podcast I've ever put a disclaimer on, because we talk about such crazy things that happen in this movie. But I would recommend it, and I wouldn't recommend looking it up and too much, because you could get spoiled.
It's definitely one of those films with some twists and turns, and it's really hard to kind of just describe the plot without giving anything away.
But it's in Spanish with subtitles. Yeah. So, I mean, we bought it on YouTube. It's like $2 to rent it or whatever. So check it out. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty freaky. Antonio Banderas is great, from 2011. Would highly recommend it. And then listen to our review talking all about it. We did a Was Next, where we talked about the first ever episode of NXT featuring Chris Jericho versus Daniel Bryan plus Christian Slater.
Yes.
And all the other rookies and vets or whatever that was. We have a few other Was Next retro NXT reviews kind of going back into the era that we're normally in coming out.
Yeah, the next one will be October 30th, 2013. But also, we've got a Best Match Ever NXT UK coming out later in the month. Talking about all the best matches from NXT UK, as obviously the brand has now ended, as we'll be talking about on tonight's Up Next. And we'll get another Up Yours with world champion patron Howie Nishi to talk about The Karate Kid Part 3.
Yeah.
We've done Part 1 and Part 2 with Howie. Season 5 of Cobra Kai is coming out, so it's a good time to talk about all this. But next week as well, as mentioned on tonight's NXT, we're celebrating an anniversary.
Yeah.
It's the 1 year anniversary of NXT 2.0. It made it to one. And, well, we're going to be doing a special show on Wednesday the 14th at 1 p.m. It'll be live on YouTube and Twitch.
Eastern time.
Eastern time. The audio will be up on our feed and the post-wrestling feed. And we've got special guests, Denise Salcedo and Jason Solomon from Solomon Monster Sounds Off, to talk all about our thoughts on the first year of NXT. Should be a fun roundtable show.
Yes, boy. We're going to chat about everything. All the good matches, the bad matches, the good gimmicks.
The bad gimmicks.
The real bad gimmicks. We're going to talk about it all. And with two great podcasters who definitely know their stuff, so we're super excited to hang out. We're going to be doing this live, like you mentioned, and then the audio will go up a little bit later, but come hang out, because we'd love some people in the chat.
Absolutely. And I'd also like to say a big happy birthday to our world champion Cactus Chris Elliott, the winner of the first Up Next Rumble, and for Post Wrestling's Karen Peterson, happy birthday, Fellow Virgos.
There you go.
It's Virgo season, baby.
Yeah. Davey celebrated a birthday this past weekend, Saturday night. We went bar hopping. We went to see some live music. We got really lit.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a time. And for you world champ patrons out there on our Patreon, at midnight, dropping a brand new Behind the BDE discussing how I made David very upset yesterday. But how we had a great time on Saturday.
We did indeed. We did indeed.
And how he became a meme in our Facebook group.
Yeah, join the Facebook group and always welcome memes, even if I am the butt of the joke.
Yes, a sleep Davey. Sleepy Davey is the new meme in the Facebook group. But yeah, go follow that if you haven't. But yeah, guys, patreon.com/upnext. If you want access to all these podcasts, $5 a month, North American tier gets you access to all the movie reviews and everything in there. But then if you want to be the world champ, you can be, and you get access to Behind the BDE plus all the other shows, and you get to pick stuff like our world champs do to come on. So we do a lot of fun stuff there on the Patreon. Go support your boys. It's only $5 and you get access to so many podcasts. We do so many best matches ever, retro reviews. There's so much stuff out there.
Yeah. There really is. I think we're coming up to 1,000 shows now across the two.
1,000 shows? Oh, across the two, then.
The free and the Patreon, yeah.
Damn, so that's a lot.
We podcast a lot, guys.
Damn, yeah.
Well, I think there's been enough talk. It's time to get into some NXT.
Yes, boy. Smoke them if you got them.
NXT from September the 6th, 2022, live from the Capitol Wrestling Center in Orlando, Florida. And we start off with Bootleg Sledgehammer, Peter Gabriel, Tyler Bate comes out after his loss, losing the NXT UK Championship to Bron Breakker, who unified the titles. And Tyler says thank you to everyone, everyone for supporting him, everyone for following NXT UK, and puts over Bron Breakker, says he's more than just Breakker by name, he's Breakker by nature. And he says, even though I lost, I thought we made magic on Sunday, and nothing's ever going to take away that I'll always be recognized as the first and last NXT UK champion, and I helped put NXT UK on the map. And a lot of respect here from the CWC here, but disrespect from Gallus, who interrupt, and they come out saying, you let the whole locker room down, you let the UK down, more importantly, you let Scotland down, and you should be standing there as the unified champion. Whatever happened to the big, strong boy? As this crowd are quite rightly chanting, you lost too, to these three idiots. And Tyler Bate brings that up. He says, well, it didn't go as I hoped, but you didn't win either. And Gallus say, well, there's three of us and one of you. And they start to beat down on Tyler Bate. When Bron Breakker's music hits, he runs out for the save and he beats them up, sends them out the ring. And Bron says to Gallus that you've caused nothing but problems since you've been here. And Sunday, worlds collided, but today, worlds unify. And tonight, I'll stand by you, Tyler, and we're going to kick your ass. So setting up for the main event tonight, Gallus versus the team of Bron Breakker and Tyler Bate.
A tag team match, player. Mm. Yeah, I liked how Tyler Bate basically gave Bron Breakker a great new catchphrase or a brand new t-shirt idea.
Well, Breakker by nature.
Breakker by nature. Yeah. How has he not said that? It kind of rhymes. Yeah, there you go. I think Tyler Bate was doing the, like, I'm going to retire is kind of what he was going for. And then it's like, no, I have to team with Bron to fight Gallus. I can't retire. So glad to see he's not. But also, it's cool to still see him here.
I actually thought he sounded good. I don't think promos have ever been really his strong point.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this was anything flashy, but he sounded a lot more comfortable than I remember him from doing promos in the past.
Yeah.
And I think if he is sticking around in NXT before moving up, he's, yeah, welcome. I think he's a great performer and inject some new life to 2.0, I think.
I agree. I also enjoyed Bron when he attacked. I don't know which guy this was from Gallus because the two of them are brothers and look similar, but he hit this beautiful belly to belly, but like lifted the dude up and turns while he side slammed him with it. It was great. So he was pounding that coffee.
We see pretty deadly backstage, and they're looking at both sets of tag team titles.
Yes, boy.
They're saying how beautiful they are, and how do we decide which one to choose, which ones to keep? And they say it's like picking between Chris Hemsworth and Brad Pitt. Who would you pick?
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Come on. I feel Chris could keep me safe. Those big arms.
He's got a family to worry about. Brad Pitt's fucking Brad Pitt.
He's a lone wolf, is he?
Brad Pitt's like,
yeah,
like even if
I get into more trouble with Brad Pitt, I think
exactly. Even if you had one night with Brad Pitt, it's worth a million nights with Thor.
Yeah, we wonder why people think we're gay when we go for nights out.
When we tell people we love Brad Pitt and Boba Shett. Who's your celebrity man crush? Yeah, I like Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah,
he's all right, but I like, you know.
I mean, I do like Chris Hemsworth. He's a
Yeah. I used to like Justin Timberlake. Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to be Bill Murray.
Not anymore.
He's a little too old now.
Still would, wouldn't you?
Still party with him.
We've already gone on way too long tonight.
For the record, the Pretty Deadly choose Brad Pitt.
They choose Brad Pitt, yes.
They both agree Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
Obviously.
More longevity there as well, yeah. They say, we must be the greatest tag team of all time, unifying these titles. And this is when Lash Legend comes in, wearing this kind of cool, like, Tutankhamun outfit.
Yeah, that was a sweet shirt.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, this, like, Egyptian pharaoh thing on it. Yeah,
yeah. It's great. Says their performance was incredible, but kind of looking on Twitter and stuff, social media saying, people are saying Damon Kemp is the reason why they won, and Pretty Deadly get quite upset by this. And then they give Lash the NXT UK titles and say, keep hold of these as we're going to frame them. So retiring the NXT UK titles and keeping on to the NXT titles.
Damn. Pour one out.
We see Mako Satomura backstage talking to Roxanne Perez, who kind of gives her a little bow and some respect. But then she walks into Cora Jade, who says... Mako's being interviewed, and she says that she's disappointed but proud of everything she did and NXT UK did. Cora Jade approaches her and says she calls her unlucky, but says, you haven't experienced the generation of Jade, so how about this Tuesday? You face me, or is the final boss scared? Mako says that she's not scared, but she already has a match against someone very respectful in Roxanne Perez, which... Cora doesn't take too kindly to.
She's pretty upset by this. Mm. So she's like, well, I'll be watching. So Roxanne stole the dream match from Cora now. So Cora's even more upset at Roxanne.
And we go to our first match of the evening. Toxic Attraction, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane taking on the team of Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. Yeah, a lot of bleed over from Worlds Collide here with kind of Doudrop, Nikki, Mako, Tyler, and Ricochet sticking around.
Yeah, a few of them still.
Wonder how long they're going to be here for.
The Worlds Collide hangover still lasting. Does Doudrop have the worst theme or the best theme?
it kind of reminds me of, you know, Vicky Guerrero's in AEW, how it's like, excuse me.
It's not quite powerhouse, but it's Doudrop. It's weird.
I feel like it might be a grower.
Yeah.
So there was quite a funny moment early on where Doudrop is walking around the outside of the ring and doesn't notice Gigi on the apron, who just PKs her in the face.
Oh yeah, kicked her right in the face.
Kicked her and face off.
They said Doudrop doesn't usually drop that fast, but like she ate the kick.
Yeah, looked
right?
Good. JC misses a senton, and then Doudrop comes in and just headbutts Gigi Dolin, slams JC on top of Gigi, and hits a senton on top of both of them. There's then a back suplex to Gigi, followed by the cannonball in the corner from Doudrop, and then hits basically the Vader bomb, but I think she calls it the pancake.
Nice.
But JC breaks up the pin. There's then a nice looking Falcon Arrow from Doudrop to Gigi, followed by the running crossbody splash for the win. Nikki doing very little in this match, but dominant win from Doudrop here.
It was like the Falcon Arrow.
Yeah.
Falcon Arrow, yeah, it looked cool. Yeah, not too into this match. There was some cool stuff with the Vader bomb thing and the Falcon Arrow, but everything, and the PK kick, there, I'll give them that, but everything else just kind of felt all right. Also, I'm not sure what's going on because they're booing Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H., but then they're booing Toxic Attraction. So is Nikki and Doudrop heels? I think
they're,
I asked
they're
this
heels
last
on Raw, yeah.
Yeah.
So just weird. I found the whole angle on Worlds Collide weird, with Toxic kind of interfering, and this felt very like putting an end to this.
Yeah.
It was almost just to set up this match tonight, and now we're moving on and nothing's going to really be said. I can't see these two. These two are doing like a team splitting up angle on Raw at the moment.
Oh.
So, yeah, they're always like fighting backstage and stuff. Okay. So this felt weird. I do think Doudrop, some of her stuff looks great. I just think she needs a whole repackage.
I mean, her name's Doudrop.
Her name's Doudrop. Just the, like, everything, the attire, like, everything just doesn't really work for me.
Yeah.
But I do think she's good, and you could have her be, you need your, like, your canes, you know? Like, I do think she could kind of be that in the division.
I think she would be better as back as Viper or Piper Niven or whatever, but I do think she's great. There wasn't a lot of Nikki in this this match, but yeah.
And I don't really see where Toxic go from here, apart from moving up, really.
Like, yeah, are they even with Mandy anymore?
That they've still got all the music and stuff, but they haven't really been associated with her as much. Mandy wasn't on the show today.
She was at home at her pool with the
titles
as a bikini.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think maybe just move these two up, because I don't want to see them in the tag title picture anymore. And what else is there really to do? Drop.
This match also, Gigi was just spending her whole time trying to make sure her top didn't fall off.
Yep.
A lot of the match.
And Doudrop had a busted nose at the end as well.
Yeah, which I saw online, she had one recently.
I think someone said from main event or something.
Oh, okay.
Recently, yeah.
Damn.
We go to a video package for Apollo Crews, who says, a true test of a man's character is not through victory, but through defeat. And he's kind of just walking around like a sort of park here.
Yeah.
Looking pensive.
Yeah, he's got like a diary in his hand.
Yeah. He says the first poke could have been seen as accidental, talking about the poke in the eye from Grayson Waller. But the second was deliberate. And Grayson tried to blind me from seeing these monumental moments. Now the vision is too blurry and hazy to make out. But unlike Waller, I'm not afraid of the unknown. And he turns and looks at the camera, and he's got a Christopher Daniels eye right here.
He's got
like
pink eye.
Bloody eye, which now prevents him to see the future.
Wow. So he got poked in the eye twice.
Yeah.
And now he can't see his visions. He can't see the future. He's just got to live like every other person.
Yeah.
Damn. He's got red eyes.
Mm.
Damn. So this feud's continuing, and he's not going to be able to see if he beats Waller, so he's going to have to find out by facing Waller.
Yeah.
Is what I imagine.
I guess so.
I don't know. I laughed when the camera panned and it's his red eye.
It's his eye. Yeah. Yeah, this is all very odd.
Do you think?
So he actually literally sees it through his eye. I would have always thought a vision would be more just in your head.
Yeah.
Like, but he's actually...
in his eye.
He actually can't see because of his eye.
Do you think Waller had, like, dirty fingers? That's why he got pink eye?
Yeah, he looks like he'd have dirty fingers. We're on one tonight. We go to our next match of the night. Wes Lee taking on JD McDonagh. Starts off really quick with these two, doing some kind of chain wrestling. Wes Lee just flipping out of everything. He does this big flip over McDonagh's head, which seems to kind of piss off McDonagh. Monkey flip from Wes Lee, and then drop kicks McDonagh to the floor, following up by this huge tope con hilo. The height and the speed he got on this was very impressive.
Yeah, like this is when JD is walking around.
That's later. Oh. This is the over-the-top flip.
Okay,
one.
Sorry. This was a huge over-the-top one. Yeah, yeah, this is great.
Wes Lee is then doing these body shots and this big kick to the face, which we see in slow-mo and just looks like he rocks him here. Kick to the back of the head, followed by the double stomp from Wes Lee. And then this is where JD kind of bells to the outside and starts walking around.
He gets sent flying over the commentator's desk, so they move out of the way. But then, like, he's crawling around trying to get up. So he grabs onto the table and he grabs onto Vic Joseph's leg. And Vic Joseph just starts screaming, "Get off me! Get off me!" I guess he was screaming, "Get off me!" But he was screaming, and Vic, Wade is making fun of him.
They're selling like Vic is just terrified of this guy.
But I did like just the
tope suicida sending him into the table. The timing was really good because JD was just walking around.
Yeah.
And Lee was like, okay, just hits this suicida.
It's so good.
Looked really good.
I need that clipped. Get off me.
Get him off me.
Bitch, get off me.
It reminded me of Seth Rollins cowering in the corner from The Fiend.
Yeah, except that's like your champion, and this is Vic Joseph, so it's okay.
There's then a meteora from Wes Lee, but JD kicks out. McDonagh goes for a powerbomb, but Lee slips out of it and catches McDonagh with another kick. McDonagh comes back with a headbutt, goes for the devil inside, but Lee turns it into a sunset bomb, but JD maintains wrist control and hits this PK across the face to Wes, and then hits the devil inside for the win in what I thought was a pretty damn good match.
Yeah, this was awesome. There were some great sequences between each other. Both, you know, not the biggest dude, but they're so athletic, they're so quick, and pretty technical, and pretty well polished. So both of them, like, going counter for counter, they were nailing some of these sequences, like, really on point. There's a crazy sunset flip bomb spot, the Irish kiss headbutt from McDonagh, And then he uses wrist control and then hoists, like lifts him up in the air to do that move. And mm-hmm. Wes made that move look good. When we've seen it on some people, it looks amazing. When we've seen it on some people who might not know how to sell too good, it doesn't look that great. But here on Wes, he sold it like it was the yeah. most devastating finisher. And it works. I really love that move. But and also the name change is
Devil Inside yeah. rather than the Devil Inside, yeah. which works. Yeah. I quite like it.
Wrist control.
Yeah, something I felt from this show is obviously there were a lot of cuts last year and you basically got rid of your cruiserweight division. But now with UK integrating with NXT, kind of missed the cruiserweight title because yeah. you have this and then the Fraser Axiom match later. You go, there is a bit of a division here. Of your smaller guys.
Sure.
I thought this was really good. I thought they had pretty good chemistry with each other. And Wesley's just been a bit start and stop with this singles run, though.
He's at least now he's not sad boy Wes. Yeah. He's got like some personality. He's got like new music that's not the MSK music. So like he's going somewhere for sure. I mean, he lost here, but he put up a pretty good fight.
We see Tony D'Angelo and Stax backstage, standing up, drinking espresso. Get yourself a chair, lads.
They did it last week, yeah. and they still realize they'll just stand and just drink stand. Their coffee.
So they're sipping on some espresso or expresso.
Stax says it twice, but I'm pretty sure the first time he said it, he called it espresso.
Like, guys, I'm sure there are people listening to this that also say espresso. Sort it out.
Figure it out. It's espresso. Is there an X in it?
No.
Espresso.
Pretty Deadly come in and Stax offers them some espresso. So they're like, yeah, sure.
I love how they're like, ooh, what we drinking? That's me and you at a party. Ooh, what's going on over there? What are we drinking?
Tony D asks them how much it costs to get Damon Kemp to help them win those titles. And they say, hey, it costs nothing. What are you talking about? And they're like, wait, you got him to do it for free? And then Pretty Deadly try and drink the espresso and they can't stomach it. And they're then mad because all these people are online and everyone are just saying that Damon Kemp helped them win these titles. And they're like, no, we did it.
Yeah, their gimmick now is the people online.
Yeah.
The people online suck. The people online who are mean to us.
Did you take away from this that Damon Kemp helped Tony, like Tony paid Damon Kemp to help them in that win back then?
That's what he meant here? Because
he's like, all right, how much did you pay, Damon?
Because imagine, because that match, right?
Yeah.
We thought Roddy.
Yeah.
That's what Roddy was trying to show him on the phone.
Exactly.
He's like, no, it was him.
It was Damon.
He's got security footage of them getting paid off.
From the ceiling. On his phone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. They're going to say that Tony paid Kemp beforehand, I think so. And that's what cost him the match. Pretty Deadly don't like the espresso. It's too strong for them. So do you think they go to Starbucks and get like some unicorn frappuccinos?
Yeah, they have some triple cream sprinkles and all of that shit, don't they?
I do like
They wouldn't like my coffee.
I like espresso. I just said espresso. See, wow.
Sort it out.
Oh my god! So this is what happens when you hang around degenerates who say that you start.
I feel we both need espresso as well right now.
Yeah, I liked this segment, but still standing up.
Get a seat, lads.
Yeah, just sit down.
I want to see the espresso machine as well.
Because they were like, "Oh, you want some?" And he just brings it out.
Yeah,
it's like, well, wait a second. Like, you can't just. It's not going to be good if it's been sitting out.
See them banging that thing and pressing the. Grinding the beans.
It's been a year of NXT 2.0. I think it's about time we get a barista gimmick.
Sure, why not?
It's 2022. Everyone has a barista.
Or just like a little coffee shop there. We've got the barber shop. We've got the parking lot. We've got the schism tree. We need a little coffee
espresso.
Shop.
Espresso. Yeah. Espresso.
Espresso. We go to our next match. Roxanne Perez taking on Mako Satomura. They start with just some really lovely, like, mat wrestling here with some great transitions back and forth. Mako with this kind of twisting wrist lock into these kicks to the chest, into an arm bar, which Roxanne counters into arm drags. And then Roxanne goes to, like, the airplane spin, like the head scissors into the airplane spin into a pin attempt. And this gets rolled through into a bridge from Roxanne, which then gets countered into the sleeper, like the Karafuda clutch. Kind of thing we see Shayna do, but Perez slips out of this and transitions into an STF, And now Roxanne sends Satomura to the outside and hits quite a different looking Lope. And I actually quite liked it because Roxanne is smaller. She went under the second rope, but kind of more like a Fez press kind of
thing. Yeah, I've never seen that before. Like, you're sliding to do the Lope or the Tope, but then you, like, cross the almost... Yeah, like
which,
a Fez press splash.
For her size, makes more sense rather than just doing the push. Like, throw your whole body at it.
Yeah, this looked pretty cool. I liked the whole... This was, I think, up until the break here, but, like, this was all great back and forth. Mm. It wasn't stopping. I really enjoyed the, like, chain wrestling and counter for counter.
We see Cora Jade backstage watching it, and she's kind of fed up and leaves... there's then, during the commercial break, where WWE, we're not really used to kind of picture-in-picture being doing anything, really. But Mako hits this cartwheel double knees to the back of the head.
Oh, my God.
Which looked like, I don't know how this didn't hurt. This looked incredible.
Yeah, they replayed this a few times, and I think by the second time, I'm like, how is she not stopping this match? This has to stop. Like, it looks like it killed her. I would, if you didn't watch it, I would say watch this match first of all. But this spot specifically was wow.
Perez then hits a side Russian leg sweep for a two count, but then Satomura traps the wrists, kind of like Danielson doing his stomps, but delivers a knee to the throat of Perez, and then this great looking spinning wheel kick right to the jaw from Satomura. They're then fighting on the top, and Roxanne hits a top rope Frankensteiner, but Mako kicks out after two. And then Roxanne blocks a roundhouse kick, but gets caught with a follow-up Pele from Satomura. And then Satomura hits the step-up axe kick to the back of the head to put Roxanne away. 1, 2, 3. In what was probably my match of the night. I thought this was awesome.
Yeah, hey, look, this episode had a lot of good wrestling on it, which is awesome to see on tonight's show. But yeah, this was a big part of it. This could be my match of the night too. There was like six different iterations of how Satomura's heel hit Roxanne in the fucking head, which was great. It looked
in
so
like
good.
Six different points
in
her head.
Pele, the roundhouse here, the like Liger spin thing, all these things. And then that the knee there, the axe kick. There's so many different things here. I thought this was great. And this helps Roxanne get over.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't need to do anything. I'm happy they didn't do anything with Cora. They do it right after this match. But, like, there wasn't interference. It's just straight up.
They had the match.
Like, you got schooled by one of your idols, by the legend, the final boss.
They're calling her the final boss. Like, there's no harm in defeat from this.
All I know is this is easily one of the best women's matches they've had in NXT for probably a whole year.
Yeah, I want to see... I don't want to see Satomura here forever, because I do want to see her mix it up with some of the main roster women. But while here, have the Cora match. Have the... I'd say run this one back as well. I'd love to see this again.
This was great.
I thought this was really, really high quality.
And really, like... builds up Roxanne. Like, yeah, you lost.
She's so
but
good.
You didn't need to, like, you lost, but your story is just beginning here still. So it's like, don't worry. Like, you'll have this one under your belt. But great match.
Yeah, they
honestly
can't miss on this girl. She's so young and so ahead of so many people on this roster, on main and NXT, I think.
But the final boss is the final boss.
Yeah, definitely. Go out and watch this match. I really enjoyed this. After the match, there's a sign of respect from the two. They shake hands and bow. But then Cora Jade runs in with the kendo stick, attacks for Perez from behind, and Mako comes back for the save, scaring her off. So I imagine we're getting the Satomura Jade match, but maybe a tag at some point as well.
Sure, Jade can find a
friend,
a baddie friend for sure. Yeah, I mean, eventually we'll get Mako versus Cora, obviously, but she maybe uses the pipe and beats Mako, and then can say to Roxanne, like, look, I beat her. So that feud definitely continues. But I'm all right for that. Yeah, all right. We'll see where it goes.
Tyler Bate sees Bron Breakker in the locker room and thanks him for having his back. And Bron says, I know we're from different countries. I start all my conversations out. I know you're from a different country.
Yeah,
but
do I ever
you're
say
right.
That?
You're
ever
right.
Say
you're
that
okay,
you? When we became buds, did
Even
I say
though
you?
You're a fucking
You're
Canadian.
Not from here. You're a foreigner, but we can be friends.
But you're okay.
Who talks like that, Bron? Come on, bro. Someone should have checked in with that.
Showing his casual racism to
what
everyone else,
fuck?
I guess.
Just because...
I normally don't like you pommies, but you're all right, Tyler.
What do they call Brits? Limeys?
Yeah.
You could have might as well just said that. Like, oh, man. Look, everyone gets offended if you do accents, but Italians and Brits are okay to do also. So you guys just get the short of the stick.
Yeah. He says, I know we're from different countries. I know you're NXT UK and Europe is just around the corner, but you're now NXT and let's kick Gallus' ass tonight. Is the plural of Gallus, Gallus?
Gallus-y.
Or is it Gallus's?
Gallus-i.
Gallus-i.
Gallus's.
Have it's we done herd, this bit before?
A herd of Gallus.
A murder of Gallus, yeah.
Gallus smells like something that you get on your foot. Like
yeah, I thought I had Gallus this morning.
I thought I had Gallus once. Turns out I was really bored.
We go to a video from Damon Kemp, and this is kind of talking head with him, but cut with the whole kind of Diamond Mine story.
Yeah.
And showing how he's been kind of behind the whole thing all along. He says, on Sunday, the whole world was talking about Damon Kemp. I don't think at the end of Sunday, anyone was talking about Damon Kemp.
Yeah.
But sure. He says, but that's not how it started. And he shows the clip of Roddy bringing in Damon Kemp when the Creeds didn't look too impressed by it. And he says, when I joined Diamond Mine, that's when the Creeds became tag champions and became dominant tag champions. And what thanks do I get? Nothing. Roddy never put me in matches. I even beat Julius Ass when we were in college. And Brutus was jealous because Roddy liked me more than him. I was never given the respect I deserved. And I saw the beef between Roddy and Julius brewing. And the beef brew? But I knew I would destroy them within, because when you get two alphas going at it, there's turmoil. So I attacked Roddy, and no one was ever looking at me. And the second that steel chair hit Julius' back, it signaled the end of Diamond Mine. And it's not Diamond Mine forever. It's Damon Kemp forever.
Damn. DK forever. Yeah, I like Damon Kemp's wrestling, but his promo here didn't come across as like menacing, but it's really the first time he's been doing this. So definitely not like bad by any means. Just okay. A little different than how I thought your character may come across. Maybe a bit more scary, but he didn't come across menacing really, but I still think there's a lot that he can do here. Because
I kind of preferred this though than coming into the ring and being like, you never respect it. I kind of liked just, okay, this is what the story is. And
well, he's not ready for that yet, clearly. No, that's why they did this.
But also as a viewer, like, it was kind of holding your hand a bit through the story and being like, okay, this is everything why he's done it. And I thought it actually worked, and kind of you see, oh, they have planted these Easter eggs right from the beginning with the Creeds looking a bit. Put in this fucking guy.
And then Kemp here, just here. Yeah, I thought for sure we were going to get that Roddy wasn't even attacked and that, like, it was a trick. And then those two spin off to be a team. But it seems like, no, Roddy's been turned on here. Like, that's...
And I got the impression from the promo later that, like, the Creeds are going to kind of make good with Roddy as well.
Yeah, that's what I get.
Yeah.
So, I mean, also, this guy is screwed because now he picked a fight with three people.
Mm.
So he must have a team.
Yeah.
To back him up.
This could also be the way for Roddy to move up and kind of keep Diamond Mine as the Creeds and Ivy together.
Oh,
but okay. Roddy could always be like, you guys didn't trust me. Like,
damn.
He turned on me. I'm going to do my own thing.
Right.
On SmackDown.
I would like the three of them to go up to SmackDown, but yeah.
We see the Schism, who are doing a kind of commercial at their table with all their pins, their smiley face badges.
Yeah.
Just saying about how people should join them and shit. when Kiana James and Jean,
Her secretary's name Jean?
Jean. They walk past, and Mick Jagger and Fowler Bob.
Henley. What's her
walk
name?
Past.
Fowler Bob?
Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed, there we go, offer them a badge, and Kiana tells Jean, oh, go on, Jean, take one. So they take one, and as they're walking, Kiana says, I don't do free sponsorship, and they throw it away in the trash.
Jeez.
And then Kiana's on the phone, and she's mad about something. She says, I wish I only had one job to do, but I've got lots of very important business I'm taking care of.
And she's like, Duncan, you better get those files.
Yeah, Duncan. Where's Duncan? She's trying to get hold of Duncan.
She should have called Dunstan.
When we see Ariana Grace, who also has a lot of things on her plate. She's saying she's got a beauty pageant and all this. She's looking at her diary. And Kiana goes up to her and says, like, I seen you also have a problem with Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons. So how about we help each other out? And she goes, I've got an opening at 6 p.m. for training. And Ariana's like, oh, would you look at that? I also have an opening at 6. So women with diaries in wrestling.
It's more like pocketbooks, but like planners, right? Yeah. Like agendas and stuff, like what to do. So these two, who kind of seem like they have similar characters, Ariana's character, Santino Jr.'s character here, she's got like the whole, she's the award-winning...
Yeah, she's got her, like, photo shoots pageants, and beauty pageants.
All that stuff.
And
kind of businessy, like, models. Yeah. She models and stuff like that. And then now Kiana, who's like, I do more business. Like, let's work together.
The thing is with Kiana is she does business.
Yeah.
She's like Chandler Bing. Like, no one...
I do business.
We don't actually know what she does.
We are...
She just says business things like, how about we circle back to that and get it done?
We are extremely rich businessmen who are on a business trip. Yes. Yeah, I guess why not team them up? It kind of fits. Sure. Makes sense.
I want to know more about Gene.
Mean Gene.
Mean Gene.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Gene.
Yeah,
we need
a fan
say,
of this act.
We should. Yeah, me too. It's not good, but it's just starting. So let's go.
Who knows where it could go?
Yeah, we need a secretary.
We did. To be honest, yeah, I could use.
We could secretary. Get Gene.
Gene or Duncan, see what Duncan's doing.
Well, he doesn't do his work, apparently. Kiana, the numbers don't add up.
Get hold of him, yeah.
I don't know how Kiana and Axiom aren't together. This just doesn't make sense.
Long-term storytelling.
Yeah, all right.
You can't go right to the finish.
Yeah. You can't put all your numbers in one pot.
Exactly. Go to our next match. Ricochet, who's stuck around, taking on Trick Williams with Carmelo Hayes on commentary. Also kind of as coach here for Trick.
Yeah, especially right in the early moments of the match where...
Hilarious,
Ricochet sends Trick to the outside, and Melo's like, yeah, get back in there. So Trick goes back into the ring, and then Ricochet kicks him in the face again. So he rolls back to the outside again, and Melo's like, you know what, stay right
He's
there.
He's like, oh, you got kicked twice. Maybe stay out here.
Stay right there, actually.
And then even goes like, hey, yo, give him a chance. Like, to Ricochet.
Ricochet, come on.
Come on, like, give him a chance.
Carmelo is so good.
Oh, so funny. Trick does come back into it a little bit with some of his kicks and hits a pop-up uppercut. And then throws Ricochet to the outside, and Melo tells Trick to smack his bald head off of the table and says, that's for all those tweets you missed on.
Wow. Yeah, I guess Ricochet, and he didn't like Ricochet's Twitter battle. Ricochet, he wasn't that good in it.
No. There's then a swinging neck breaker from Trick, a springboard crossbody from Ricochet, and then a springboard elbow, and then Ricochet hits the recoil, followed by the shooting star press for the win.
The recoil was great because Trick sold it like Scott Hall, WrestleMania 18 stunner. Like, jumps up in the air, like bouncing, right? And then I love how Melo was like, don't worry, when Ricochet goes up for the shooting star, Melo to commentary is like, don't worry, he's got this move we've been practicing. Show him, Trick. Show him. And then he just gets hit with the shooting star, so Melo's just like, oh shit.
Yeah, I think... You really saw Ricochet kind of work slower and down a level here. Like, compared to what we got with Melo, Trick is still pretty green. I like Trick. I think he is improving. But when you see this in such close proximity to the match with Melo, it felt like this should have been the warm-up match before Worlds Collide.
Yeah.
You know? And, it's still after the match, Ricochet and Melo were kind of jawjacking a bit more. So you wonder if there's going to be more with these two.
I think so.
Going forward.
I think so, yeah.
But this for me was maybe the weakest match on the show.
It still like was entertaining. I honestly, it was Melo that made me
howl
through the whole thing, man. I'll keep keep saying this guy's my favorite bit of this show, and I'd say he's a polished act at this point. I don't know what else there would be for him to do here.
But I also like how the team is kind of like, Mello recognizes Trick isn't great yet.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, ah, oh, okay, man.
Yeah, right. But it works. Yeah,
it really works. I think these two are really entertaining. We see Stax and Tony at the coffee table.
Still standing down.
Coffee table. Drinking more espresso. This time they've got their biscotti with them as well. When Cameron Grimes walks in and Tony asks if he has reconsidered joining the family. Grimes says, ah, you're just like Gacy. You don't stop. And the answer is no. Not today, not tomorrow, not any day. And Cameron Grimes don't need nobody, and not you two. And Tony D says, well, you know what happened to the last two guys that said no? I ran them out. And Grimes says, well, I'm not like those other two guys. And Stack says, yeah, because people actually respect them. And then Grimes throws espresso at Stack here.
Did you say espresso?
Espresso. And they brawl, and it leads to an uranage from Tony D to Grimes through the table, which had plates and things all up on
it.
Yeah. And look. If I was Stax and I had hot coffee thrown at me, I'd be running to find ice and water. As it, like, this scene ends and Stax has just stood there with coffee on him. Tony D's even like smacking him on the chest, being like, yeah, you got him.
It's because they were drinking cold coffee earlier.
I guess so. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, hot coffee would really, like, McDonald's gets sued about this all the time. So, like, if it was a true fresh espresso there. So they were offering Grimes cold espresso.
Yeah.
That's why it didn't burn, is my thing. Mm. But the thing through the table looked good.
Maybe it's the Italian way.
Cold? Mm. Look, cold coffee's good if, you know, it's on ice and all that stuff. Yeah. But just when it's just sitting there and it goes cold, it's not that good.
You need ice cold, not like...
Room temperature coffee is not ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But poor Grimes.
But yeah, get those burns looked at.
Hope he's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We then get a little vignette for a surfer gimmick.
Yeah.
And Sol Ruka.
Sol Ruka. We see her surfing. There's seagulls. She's on a beach. Surf's up, dude. I'm excited. A surfer gimmick? You know I love my Point Break.
Yeah.
I'm all about this.
Do you know much about Sol Ruka?
I know that she was one of the like athletes that was signed.
Okay.
From WWE. I followed her on our Up Next Twitter account a little while ago. So coming soon.
Okay.
Surfer gimmick. Maybe she'll be like Cora Jade, but she'll surf out to the ring. I don't know how.
Just carry a board to the ring.
Just carry the board, yeah, at that point. And then she'll turn heel real quick and start using it as a weapon.
Yes.
She'll wax these
break people. Break apart midair.
Yeah. I don't know. We have Matt Riddle, who kind of, you know, the stoner.
He's got the surfer vibe. But,
yeah.
Nakamura is the surfer.
Nakamura could have a surfer
Sol
gimmick.
Ruka and Nakamura.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. What's her name?
Sol Ruka.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Vaya con Dios, bro.
Mm. We go to the Diamond Dojo where Brutus is mad and he says he's going to break Damon's face for what he did. And next time we see him, it's on site.
It's on site, Braden. It's on site.
And next week they have the rematch with Pretty Deadly. And Julius says they'll add fuel to the fire. Saying, basically, we're already pissed off and we're going to be even more pissed off and just kill Pretty Deadly next week. And Brutus actually says, yeah, we'll beat Pretty Deadly and then I'm killing Damon Kent.
Right.
Which is, it's one of those rules in WWE. You never say you're going to kill someone or they're going to be dead. But Brutus is that mad. That mad. Pretty Deadly then walk in and say that next week the WWE universe can pick the stipulation. And Julius says that he's going to take his rage out on their bitch asses.
Damn, he's really mad.
So, Hell in a Cell is what I pick for these four next week.
So, it turns out next week is turning into some sort of fan pick the vote. 1 year anniversary of 2.0, and they got some matches. It so happens to be on a Tuesday. Why don't they call it Taboo Tuesday?
Makes sense, doesn't it?
But they're not calling it Taboo Tuesday. Come Tuesday.
Come Tuesday. They did this thing on Raw for quite a while, didn't they? Like the fan vote.
Yeah.
But it would always be like, what do you want to see these guys in? A street fight? a hardcore match.
No DQ.
A Falls Count Anywhere or a no DQ. And you're like, ah, okay.
All right, it's all the same. That's what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, be interested to see what the stipulation is.
Inferno match.
Yeah. We then go to Nathan Fraser versus Axiom. This I found weird because they kind of made out last week that this was going
to... Hey, what?
They kind of implied last week that this was going to be at Worlds Collide.
Right, right.
And they also mentioned... First, they mentioned a rounds match, and then they mentioned, like,
numbers.
Best two out of three.
Right.
But now it's a best of three series.
Yes.
So they're going to have three matches, and this is the first one.
Which I think if you made a bit clearer in that promo, this we would be have a bit more excited.
They were definitely talking about rounds, weren't they?
They were talking about rounds.
They were, like, talking about the British wrestling and doing and then, rounds and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and then, because, you know, Axiom doesn't know anything about that. Wink, wink, yeah. Nudge, nudge. So then they make it seem like, no, we'll have a two out of three falls match. But now it's best of three series. So that means they'll fight two more times after this match. Which is great. You don't see that in wrestling quite as
no,
much.
I
remember
like,
the best of seven series? Like, yeah. Those are always really good, so.
And I think it would be a good way to, like, these two from this match, you can see have great chemistry as
for
well.
Sure.
So it's going to help each guy.
Yeah.
And by the time that third match comes along, you give them a bit more time and do. I like this. They start with some wrist locks where both guys are just rolling through, kipping up. Axiom does, which I've not really seen before, like a one-handed handstand cartwheel kind of thing out of the wrist lock.
Yeah.
Axiom then goes for a bow and arrow, but Fraser flips through out of it into a crossbody pin attempt. There's then a tope suicida from Axiom, followed by the high cross for a two count. Fraser then hits this, like, suplex lift into this twisting cutter, which looked pretty awesome.
Yeah, this was insane because it was so fast. Like,
yeah.
Watching this on normal speed looked like you were watching it on like three speed. So I feel like they needed to put it in slow-mo to see like it was almost like the wind thing. What's it called? Stormbreaker. It was like spinning the guy, nailing him. I thought this was over.
Yeah. Fraser then follows up with a moonsault. Like it's kind of like the AJ moonsault reverse DDT, but he turns it into a final cut.
Yeah.
Which looked great. And then a standing shooting star press, but Axiom gets the knees up. Axiom then goes for a crossface, but Fraser gets the ropes. And then Fraser locks in this really deep Boston crab, transitions it to a single Boston crab, and then more into like the calf crusher here, which looked really good.
He was almost, what, Beth Phoenix Molina, where she used the own foot to hit her in the head with it? He was almost doing that with this guy's leg.
Axiom manages to make it to the ropes, and then out of nowhere hits his like one-legged drop kick.
It's
finish.
It's basically like the calf kick or the what almost like a Yakuza kick, just a single leg lariat kind of thing. It looked great here, but it still just looks like a drop kick.
Yeah, he does so many other kicks in the match that you go, oh, that's the finish. I'm not convinced on that, but I thought this was the best showing from both of these two.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought this was really good.
Yeah, easily the best stuff they've done since being here in NXT 2.0. Great nonstop action throughout the whole match. Like the technical stuff was great. The high flying, the kip ups, there's like that kind of superhero flippy stuff. Mm. That was really great. But then a lot of the wrestling like held up. Like you mentioned, one of them's doing a crossface, one of them's doing the walls. Like everyone's doing something back and forth. Mm. It wasn't the longest match, but it felt like there wasn't any downtime in it. So it was really great.
And Nathan Fraser, if you keep with this guy, like down the road, him and Seth just makes
so much
sense.
For
right?
sure. Yeah.
I really enjoyed this. Yeah, look, I assume Fraser's going to get the next match, and then...
I'd say check this match out. It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, these two impressed.
I'm not too into Axiom's gimmick, because they put a picture out, and I'm pretty sure they took it down and switched the picture, where his face, you can kind of see it through the mask,
right.
I guess they use flash to take a picture of him. His face just looks like he's wearing a sock squished in his face. Like, give him some breathing.
I thought I think he was wearing different tights here.
Maybe.
I thought they looked better today.
Yeah. I want the last fall. So Axiom wins this
Axiom won the first one.
So he's got numbers on the board. So if he wins the second one, they don't have a third.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm assuming Fraser wins the next one, and then we'll finally get to the conclusion.
I would
assume so. But I liked this. By the end of the match, they were like going after each other. Whereas first it was friendly competition, and then it got like more aggressive. And I thought this was a good stuff. And do more of this. We'll fight a few times.
Yeah.
Baseball games do that every fucking weekend. There's like three three headers or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Hank, security Hank, is with whole security team as they're hired to guard Gallus. Are they protecting others from Gallus or protecting Gallus? I'm not entirely sure.
They made it seem like things are getting too rowdy around here with Gallus.
There was such a missed opportunity here to just have one of them sprint off.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, like, like come on, you've got a security team, just have... WWE like doing the background stuff now, like on Raw and SmackDown, things that are going on like behind an interview. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't talk about the red hoodie, the Schism's red hoodie person who's been taking their pins. The person in the background with the red hoodie, Little Red Riding Hood.
True.
So who could that be? Yeah, exactly.
Who is that? Yeah.
Another mystery.
Yeah, so Hank is head security guy.
Hank's the man.
Like telling them like what they got to do tonight. When Javier Barnell,
I said, "Don't remind me his name because I'll try to remember it before the show." But luckily, they announced it later on.
He comes and just makes fun of them, calls them rent a cop. It's job a cop, Javier.
Yeah, job a cop.
Do not listen. and Hank tells him to watch himself. Javier says, "Look, I'm a superstar, and you're not even a wrestler." And Hank says, "I may not be a superstar, but I'll whoop your ass every day of the week, you prick." You prick has become like his catchphrase, I guess he said it the other week. But seeing on Twitter, closed captions for this said, "I may not be a superstar, but I'll wipe your ass every day of the week."
That changes the whole sentence.
I love this gimmick. I can't believe we haven't had a security guard gimmick before.
Jericho's, was it Ralph? Ralphus?
I guess, yeah. But this
is a real security
guard. For all the goofiness of 2.0, this feels just so real. It's just these are the security guys that work.
Yeah, I'm in Hank's corner here. All you need to do with Hank is eventually give Hank the Goldberg spot. And if he's coming from a security guard point of view, like just give him this monster
but
push.
Like the jobber cop security thing has been such a trope for such a long time to actually make one of them a character. I think it's pretty smart. I'm into this.
Shout out Hank.
Shout out Hank.
Yeah, we're here for Hank.
We support Hank. we see Quincy Elliott, who's riding around Orlando on his scooter.
Like a moped.
Yeah. And you're hearing all these voices of people that aren't there. Like the streets are completely empty. But you're hearing, "Oh my God, is that Quincy Elliott? Oh my God." And he's just smiling, waving to all these people that don't exist. And he says, "Nothing is cuter than a boy on his scooter. And people can't keep my name out their mouth," as it keeps on showing all tweets about Quincy Elliott.
Was our tweets up there?
Did we tweet?
No.
And he says, "Don't worry, baby. Next week, I'm coming."
So his whole promos have been like tongue-in-cheek innuendos. Because he starts off by saying the biggest package is about to be delivered. And says it's coming next week. And then he says, "Next week, I'm coming."
Like, yes.
I don't know if you understand what he's trying to say there. But he's coming.
Very smart. Yeah. Very good writing here.
So nothing's cuter than a boy on his scooter.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to see what happens with Big Quincy next week.
Yeah.
The super diva.
Yeah.
What's his name? Diva.
Yeah. This is next week. So we'll finally get the debut of Quincy. We see Trick and Mello backstage. And Trick says, "Yeah, I lost. But even a broken clock is right twice a day. And I am still taller, stronger, and better looking than Ricochet." And is it Mackenzie here reveals that next week the WWE Universe can decide who Carmelo Hayes' opponent is for the North American title. I pick Brock Lesnar. That's who I'm voting for.
Goldberg.
Yeah.
We'll Triple H. All of the above. CM Punk.
Yeah.
So Melo's going to put the title on the line and we got to vote.
Yes.
Before next week.
Who do you think?
Ricochet.
You think it will just be Ricochet again?
They're going to be like, pick Rip Fowler, Javier Bardem, or...
Ricochet.
Ricochet. Yeah. So like... That's what they used to do at those Tyler Tuesdays and stuff anyways. So it'll be like that.
Yeah.
Which their match was awesome.
It was good. I'm happy if they run that back.
So, but please do.
To be honest, any Melo opponent, like they do pick quite well for him. And I'm always down for a Melo match.
Do it.
Could you see him losing next week?
It's
a surprise opponent.
Yeah, the only way I see this dude losing that title is so that he can go, you know what, I am going to go for bronze title, and then he does beat Braun. Like, he's the only viable, big enough superstar on this show that could take the title from Braun.
We go to our main event of the evening, Gallus. This time it's the Coffey Brothers teaming with Wolfgang on the outside. It's often what Wolfgang and Mark Coffey with Joe as the singles.
Here we were talking about how we need barista gimmicks in NXT when we got the Coffey Brothers right here.
Right?
Why didn't we? I think we said this last week. Yeah. Why don't we have that?
We'll get that scene at one point with Tony D and Stack.
That's not coffee. This is coffee. Poof.
I bet they don't drink good coffee. I can't imagine Gallus having a good taste in coffee. Their coffee is just iron brew.
Their coffee, what are they?
Do you know iron brew?
No, what's that?
It's like the Scottish national drink. It's just orange.
Oh.
Orange pop, iron brew.
Scottish?
It's not good for you.
Like, I know Irish people like putting like Baileys in it. Oh, that looks like orange crush.
It's not. It has its own flavor. I can't even describe.
Like Brio?
It's like, how do you describe what Coca-Cola tastes like? Coca-Cola just tastes like Coca-Cola.
It's like sugary, caramelly.
Yeah. Iron brew just tastes like. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're telling me that's what the Scottish people put in their coffee? Because like Irish people,
no, that's
Baileys,
what they drink instead of coffee. Instead of coffee. That's like their national drink, just iron brew.
Does it have caffeine in it?
It's got a fuckload of sugar.
All right.
I don't
interesting.
Know, maybe.
Is that where they all have like orange hair and beards?
Yeah.
Because they drink all this iron brew?
I am painting the whole of Scotland with a massive paintbrush here, but it is very popular.
Do they all eat haggis and wear kilts and
yes,
stuff too?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm learning a lot about my culture.
Yeah. Trying to see
How to describe
iron brew? Iron brew is a Scottish carbonated soft drink, often described as Scotland's other national drink after whiskey.
Oh,
introduced
yeah,
Scottish in 1901, Scottish. The drink is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Scots will. Gallus just puts scotch in their coffee in the morning. When they wake up, put some scotch.
It's got caffeine in there as well.
Nice.
And
should we try to find some?
Yeah, there's literally in the ingredients no fruit flavoring at all. It's just all chemicals and sugar and caffeine.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. That sounds good. We should try to find some in the States.
Iron brew?
Yeah.
We could probably find, there's some of those, there's a couple of like those stores here that do like UK.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen it in the other stores. Yeah. Because they have like UK stores.
And then what's good is they do it as a like a chewy bar as well. The iron brew bars are pretty good.
Interesting. Okay.
Just get them on the way to school.
So you do enjoy this?
Like, I prefer the chewy bars, but like my teeth are too fucked for that kind of stuff. Now.
Okay, right. Interesting. Iron brew. Well, hey, we learned something today.
Yes.
Multiculturalism.
Absolutely. We've been all over the place today for this show. We've got Gallus taking on Tyler Bate and Bron Breakker. And, Bate gets, I think it's Mark in this headlock, but he does the thing where as he's in the headlock, he's holding his foot and using his foot to kick him in the face. Simon Gotch used to do this, I remember.
Right. Don't say his name or your YouTube algorithm will start playing his videos after everything.
But I quite like this. And I do, Bates kind of got that similar kind of look, like the strong man kind of thing.
Yeah, I get you. The move is cool.
Throwback.
So he's using his own foot to hit him in the head. Yeah.
While he's got the headlock in.
Yeah.
There's then a double delayed suplex from both Bate and Bron, followed by a double kip up from them both. Tandem standing moonsaults. I thought this was a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
Also, this kind of shows, this was a mix of kind of showing off Tyler Bate, how strong he is for his size, but also how agile Bron Breakker is for his size, doing what the smaller guy is doing. I thought it was pretty cool. There's then a bear hug from Joe Coffey, which lasted forever. Bate finally makes the tag to Bron, who's just running the ropes, catches Joe with his big kind of pick out of midair power slam. Mark blind tags in, but gets caught with the spine buster. Bron then pulls the straps down and then gets Mark Coffey on his shoulders as Tyler climbs up the top and they hit the Doomsday Bulldog. Sorry, I'm blanking.
Steinerliner?
What called it. Steinerliner,
something
is that
like
it?
That, yeah.
But this is when Wolfgang climbs up on the apron to try and distract. And Bate hits him with a bop and bang. And then Joe goes for the discus lariat, but gets speared by Bron. And then Tyler hits the Tyler Driver 97 on, I think, with Mark here to pick up the win.
Yeah, not the best match on this show, but it definitely highlighted Braun and Tyler. Like you said, they got to get some great stuff in. And then when eventually it's Tyler being beaten down, he gets Braun to save him in there at hitting the spears and the big moves. And then Bate getting the win is like a nice little like addition there. Like not so much giving Braun all the, like the rub there, but Gallus were just there to get beaten up. There was nothing from them that stood out. I know we make fun of these guys because they just look like a bunch of guys, and that's exactly what they still continue to look like anytime I've watched them. They don't do anything very impressive. They are walking around. Sure, they can bump for the other guys, but they don't really stand out at all. You could have put in any other two people. I didn't realize Wolfgang was on the outside for this match for the first 5 minutes, and then realized when he was like trying to sweep at someone's leg or something. I was like, what is he in the match? And I was like, oh, wait, he's not. Oh, there's two coffees. Right. Okay. Yeah. Genuinely, like, sure, they're great lads, but go away heat from me for these guys.
And already, very quickly, they've been positioned as,
like what?
Losers. Like, that they had the big angle coming in, taking out Diamond Mine, but then they weren't one of the final two teams in the elimination match. They were eliminated early, losing here.
Yeah.
It's already, you're telling me not to take these guys serious. I don't, like, just from the look of them. And yeah, they just don't, like, I can't tell you anything they did in this match.
Exactly. Really.
There was a bear hug.
Yeah. They don't do a whole lot.
Bate and Bron were actually quite fun.
Yeah.
As a team.
I
think Breaker's been good at this when we've seen him. He did obviously, the little run with Ciampa, he had the match with Apollo. He does do some fun things to try and, like, be a tag team with his partner, and which I think his lineage makes sense because his dad was in one of the best tag teams ever. So I think it's fun seeing Bron in these tag situations, but it would have been more fun against a more interesting team.
Yeah.
Overall,
after the match, there was an attack.
Oh, yeah. After the match, JD McDonagh runs out and drops Bate with the devil inside.
Yeah, and then runs away from Braun.
Yeah.
So he attacks Bate, which I guess sets up that match.
Which we saw at one of the takeovers, right?
Yeah.
Which was
really good.
Really good. So I'm perfectly fine with these two.
Yeah, I assume that's JD's way of trying to get back at Braun to go for the title again as well down the line.
Maybe.
Possibly, something like that. Because I know we got it's early September right now, but I imagine we're getting Halloween Havoc as either a TV special or a premium live pay-per-view thing. So either way, I'm assuming we're getting someone spooky and we're not going back to Gacy. So are they going to prolong JD McDonagh till that to make him like the creepy villain for that show? Or because he's got to beat Bate to then go challenge for Braun. So
yeah. Yeah. You could do the three-way.
True.
If Bate is still
he's
kind of
literally
beat
both of them.
He has been both of them. That is the thing.
And I thought NXT UK was dead because all of them are just hanging out on 2.0 now. Axiom, Frazier, Bate, Gallus, JD, like the Schism lads. They're all here.
I'm okay with that though. It's time. Like NXT UK did feel like the feeder system to here.
This, yeah.
So, and I think they're going to want them on, at least a few weeks on NXT before moving up to the main roster or to figure out, what are we actually going to do with these guys?
But it wasn't a bad episode at all. It had three really strong matches, I thought, and the rest of it, nothing like pissed me off.
Nothing
except Gallus.
Yeah.
Gallus
kind of,
stinks.
Kind of, yeah.
Sounds like it stinks. The
but
Gallus.
I really enjoyed, the Nathan Fraser Axiom match, the Wesley JD McDonagh match, but my match of the night was the women's Roxanne Perez versus Mako Satomura. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, honestly, the Axiom match was great, but I'd still say just out of having a full story and everything kind of going on, Satomura and Roxanne was great.
I felt the pacing was a little better today as well. I thought the matches got a little bit more time, and you had some backstage stuff, but it wasn't like scene after scene after scene
either.
So a stronger episode for me,
I honestly thought. It was, and it had wrestling, so that's why I liked it. So yeah, I'd say low points is Gallus and I don't know, nothing really pissed me off too much on this show.
No,
so I liked it. Probably one of my favorite 2.0s.
yep
just because like three matches on a show like this. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't had three strong matches on just a TV episode before, have we?
So it was good.
All right. Well, that's what we thought. Shall we go to the Facebook group to see what you guys thought?
Yeah. And I mean, make sure you vote for next week's.
Yeah. We want Brock Lesnar versus Carmelo Hayes.
Or can we get, is Braun in the match? Can we vote for his opponent? Can we get Braun v. Braun?
Braun v. Braun? Yeah. We could do Braun v. Braun.
Braun! Yeah, Braun's back.
And barbed wire everywhere, Matt.
Oh, that would be great.
For Pretty Deadly.
Yeah, let's book it. Yeah. WWE.com. Join our Facebook group if you haven't, because we'll let you post comments or questions, just like how Magan did, who wrote in here saying, Perez Satomura delivered. I was on the edge thinking there would be a non-finish, but I was relieved to see it end cleanly. Roxanne gained in defeat, and Mako got to showcase her skills to a U.S. audience. It was neat to see Ricochet, Nikki, and Doudrop on NXT. Kemp had some potential as a heel, and Frazier and Axiom's trilogy is off to a nice start, and the main event was solid. So, Magan liked this show.
We then go to Fire Frank, who says, very good show tonight. Mako Roxanne had a banger, and Trick held his own with Mr. O'Shea. Where's JD was fun, and Kemp actually had a decent heel promo. Main event was fine. The burning question, though, is who's in the red hoodie? Magan suggests that maybe it's Isla Dawn.
No.
From UK.
She wears a red hood.
Which would,
fit. She's spooky.
She's spooky. She'd fit in with the schism lads.
She's like a witch. She brainwashes people and stuff in NXT. So, in the UK. Mm. We go to Sean, who writes in, guys, this was a great show. These matches tonight were, dare I say, it. Black and gold level.
Wow.
NXT made great use of the UK and made roster talent hanging around. And even the vignettes and promos were good. Damon Kemp in particular stood out as giving his explanation for turning on them. Referencing his real life history with Brutus was a great touch. Match of the night honors go to Perez and Satomura and Axiom v. Frazier. And hey, we're getting Taboo Tuesday next week for 2.0's 1 year anniversary. Can't wait. I mean, from now until next Tuesday, they better start calling it that.
Yes.
Like, I don't know why they're doing it. Just change it to that.
We go to Corey, who says, tuned in to see Mako wrestle, was happy about that. Rest of the show was eh. Mainly interested to see who the red-hooded person that Schism seems to be courting is. I see that there is still no Sarray, which just makes me want her out of the company and back in Japan, where she could be having bangers in Stardom, where she was originally going to head to before WWE called her over to the US and finding actual success.
Damn. And then Sean writes in again, the disrespect for Gallus, sad.
Yeah.
Big Gallus.
Yeah.
Big Gallus fan.
Makes me sad watching them too.
Well, that was NXT. That was Up Next. We hope you enjoyed us talking about some NXT. You can always hear us talk about all the other wrestling, retro pay-per-view reviews, movie reviews, out on our Patreon. But if you want to hear us talk about tomorrow's AEW Dynamite, it'll be out sometime Thursday as we're going to the show tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun. So follow our socials at Up Next Podcast on Twitter and the Facebook group, as well as our personal socials, to see kind of the shenanigans we get up to. Maybe our Instagram stories. You're sleeping if you don't follow us on Instagram on our personal accounts, because you would have seen some fun stuff from this weekend,
great
from
stuff,
the wrestling shows we go to. So we're looking forward to doing that. And then next Wednesday, after 2.0 next week on Wednesday, the Super Show, 1 year in review with Denise and the Solo Monster. So, Solo Monster.
Solo Monster. Yeah, really looking forward to that chat. That should be really fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a great little round table talking about some 2.0. So we would love some feedback in. Join us in the chat 1 p.m. that Wednesday, next Wednesday, because we'll go through the good, the bad, and the ugly of 2.0 of 1 year. So follow the socials. Join the Facebook group. We appreciate you guys very, very much. And we'll be back very shortly.
We'll see you soon, guys.
I myself, Brayden Harrington. Find me Twitter, Instagram, at TheBrayD.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And don't bite people.
Ahoy!